Hello and welcome to another Power On Podcast Portable. I am Sushi B, and with me is the wonderful and lovely Taylor. How you doing, Taylor?
I'm doing good. How about yourself, Sushi?
I'm doing pretty good. A little bit of a sore throat, but we have an awesome topic today for our portable, so I'm really excited. This is one we've discussed about doing for quite some time and finally getting around to doing it, so I'm really, really anticipating this one for a while now, so have been, I guess, for a while.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to it because it is a very awesome, awesome game. So we should just roll right into it.
Yes, we should. And the game we are talking about today is the one and only Double Dragon 2:
The Revenge.
The Revenge for the NES. We should specify that this is the NES version and not the arcade or some other version.
Because there's a lot of them.
I think there are, yeah, actually, quite a few of them. I have not actually experienced any of those other ones before we start. Have you?
Nor have I. I've not. None of them. Nope.
Okay. I've definitely watched a couple of YouTube videos of the arcade version. I was just curious one time just how it looked as compared to the NES one, and it's quite a bit different. Mm-hmm. I know that from what I can tell, they must have built it from the ground up for the NES and also for the arcade. They're just not alike at all.
Right. Yeah, I've seen some YouTube videos on kind of the comparisons for it, and you're just like, that's different.
Yeah, very different. Everything graphically, obviously graphically, but just they did a good job, I think, by doing that, though. I think if they wanted to just replicate the arcade experience of the NES, it would have been a complete disaster.
Yeah, probably.
And I don't have any opinion on the arcade version, but I really, really like the NES version. I don't know if I would like the arcade one, just from what I saw. Mm. But that's just my feeling.
Yeah, I don't know. I'd have to give it a shot to see how I felt. But yeah. I really enjoy the NES one. And yeah, I guess real quick, game came out way back in good old 1989.
Whew. So, that long now, hey?
Yeah, that long. So, long time ago.
That's a long time ago.
And I don't know, do you know who put it out in North America?
I think Acclaim put it out in North America, if I remember. I remember, oddly enough, this is one of the few NES games I actually had. I remember getting into a car one day and just getting it handed to me out of the blue. It wasn't a birthday. Well, that was the thing. It wasn't a birthday. It wasn't Christmas. It wasn't any kind of special time of year. It was just really odd for me to get a present like that because I knew they were expensive and I didn't get them very often. So to just get into a car and then a Friday night be like, look, we got this for you. And like, what?
Sweet. Yeah. Two was one of those that I borrowed from the library.
The good old library,
yeah. It had one and two, so I would always borrow them. But as a kid, I would mix them up. So yeah. I'd be like, I played one for a while, and I was like, okay, I'm okay with one, but it's really bare bones. Yeah, I find, and I one time had borrowed two, and I'm like, oh my god, two is so amazing. And then I would borrow two for a little while, then I wouldn't borrow it for a long time, and then went back to try to borrow it again. I'd accidentally borrow one again. I'm like, what the god damn it, why is this not as memorable as when I played the as a kid I always mixed up one and two for some reason.
That's interesting.
Yeah, and I know they're not anything, well, I wouldn't say they're not anything alike, but they're just, two is just far leaps and bounds so much better than one. But, mm-hmm. I don't know.
I like the first one, though. Not to get too derailed, but I like the first one for what it offered.
Yeah, I'm not saying it's like, I hate it. It's just more of two just felt a lot more fun to play, I guess. Mm-hmm. So, yeah.
That's fair enough.
So let's get into it. Let's roll.
Sure. Let's do it. So this is a very, very good NES game. Very fun. This game also introduced the two-player aspect that the arcade version for the first and second game both had. And unfortunately, the NES version did not for the first title. So it was really awesome that you could get this game and now you could have the two players.
Indeed. I actually, not too long ago, with one of my good friends, he came by and crashed at my place for a few days. And I actually downloaded it off of the Wii Virtual Console thing, and we played together and destroyed it. It was so much fun.
Yeah.
It's just a blast.
Odd story is actually my friend was visiting as well from actually from Canada. So this is a game we played a lot as kids, and it was really fun to fire up the Wii, and we just destroyed it as we usually did. It's great. It's one of these games that no matter how many times you beat it, you pretty much abuse the game to its core because you just learn how to do all the tricks of it. And it's still extremely fun.
For sure.
So why don't we get right into... I would like to start maybe with the stages of the game.
Okay.
Since that's sort of a good way to break down how it all plays out and everything. Mm-hmm. Now, what are your sort of basic thoughts on the stage designs? Let's forget about weapons, enemies, characters, just the stage designs themselves.
I didn't mind the stage designs too much. I liked how it would go from the kind of like a, for lack of a better word, the 3D plane to a completely 100% 2D plane for certain times. I really didn't mind it. The thing that kind of bugged me is when, it doesn't bug me now, but I remember when I would first play it, you'd fall off really easily at certain parts. So sometimes the stages were a little wonky like that, but once you got adjusted to it, you're like, okay, you know, I know what I'm doing. The only thing about the stage design that really needs somebody to be punched in the face is when you have to do platforming.
Leave it at that, or
I guess for the aesthetics of the designs of each of the stages, I liked the variations of them. Except even with four, where you go underground, it's still got a lot of nice little cool background imagery, just cool background images and stuff, so it's not completely just boring. So
yeah, a lot of stage interaction going on with a lot of the stages. Three is maybe the biggest interactive stage, with the door of the helicopter that right. You get into continually opening, I don't know, maybe every 7-8 seconds or something.
Maybe.
Never really stop to pay attention, but something like that. The door will open at a certain time frame or interval.
Right. Yeah, that's another thing.
You could fall out, or some of the enemies could fall out.
Right, and that's another thing is how short some of those stages can be. Cough, cough, right. The third stage.
Right. But I like that stage. It's really neat that it's presented almost in that letterbox format.
Right.
It's got a really neat presentation, and it's got a weird glitch to it that if the doors open and the music is playing as the door opens when the stage finishes, it goes into this weird, deeper sounding version of that song. I don't know if you've ever experienced that, but...
No, not that I'm aware of.
It's a really weird sound. It just seems to be... The music is almost being blocked by the fact that the door is open, because when the door opens, it makes that sort of weird... Yeah, like a humming sound. So it seems like it's trying to carry over the fact that the stage music is trying to finish and move into the next song, but that sound carries over with it. It's really weird. It doesn't affect the game at all. It's just really strange sound.
I see.
I mean, what are some of the stages you enjoyed then?
I really, not necessarily the first half of it, but the second half of stage 7, I really liked.
Okay.
Just because I'm stupid disappearing platforms. I liked stage 4, and as well as stage 5, because I like the forest kind of stages. The helicopter stage, even though it is just that one, is pretty cool. And of course, stage 8, and if you want to count stage 9 there.
Okay. So that would mean maybe you don't prefer stage 1, 2,
I don't,
3 that much.
Well, 3 I don't mind because it's a helicopter.
6.
But 6, yeah, I'm not a big fan of it. 1, I don't mind. It's just I'm kind of like, okay, you know, it's
just the setup.
Right. I'm a bit indifferent towards it. I'm just like, okay.
Okay. 6 was the kid killer, basically, right? Like 6 was the one, if this really separated the people that knew how to play the game and who didn't.
Right.
That was the definitely the hardest stage. Most kids could learn the game and understand it And it was tough, but they would get up to that sixth stage and then just get demolished. And it's because of, as you alluded to, it's some platforming in that stage that are that really can be infuriating if you don't know how to follow the pattern. Once you learn the pattern, it's really not that hard.
Right.
It isn't that terrible. But to this day, I still find there's times where I might fall in the pit, not so much on the second half, but at the first half, because there's this flame that falls at a weird pattern sometimes. So you might get caught with that. But once you learn it, you kind of accept the stage. I don't really like it either, but you kind of accept it as just being, okay, it's just this stupid challenge point that I have to get through.
It's a roadblock.
Right. And it's a pretty short stage otherwise.
Right, right. It's incredibly short. So, And outside of just, saying it as a kid killer, that's pretty spot on. Because I remember as a kid, stage six I would always be like, oh no, stage six, game, continue.
Right. The funny thing about that stage is, to this day, one of my other friends that I played this game a lot with as well, he was really good at the game. But we would get to stage six, and he could do it about 60, 70% of the time. But there was that 20, 30% where he'd be like, fuck, you do it. And he would hand over the controller, and I'd have to do it. And then he'd be fine the rest of the game. Which is odd, because stage seven also has quite a bit of difficult platforming.
Yes, it does. That's what I say. Like the first half is not very platform. Well, it's not very friendly to people who don't like the platforming in the game.
Right.
And I don't know, the second half is just awesome. It's just like, yeah!
I like all of stage seven, though. I like that it's such a gauntlet. Uh-huh. I think that the stage itself is called like the gauntlet or something or other. I don't remember exactly, but I like that the first part of the stage, you look right when you start, you're just like, whoa, shit, this is getting really serious now. You've got these moving conveyor belt platforms you got to go on. And there's a neat trick on that one, that you can walk off the first conveyor belt and walk right to the end on the right-hand side. And if you jump, you land on that little one perfectly.
Huh.
And then you can just jump onto the not moving platform at the end to get through the door. It's really bizarre, because this is that friend, he was getting really frustrated, and he's like, I'm going to try this. And he starts walking across. I'm like, well, you're going to die, man. And he jumps and he makes it to the little platform, and he does it all the time. It's not just a fluke thing that happened one time, because you can't move in the air basically in this game once you've committed your moving that way.
Right.
So he would do that all the time. And I'd always do the triple jump. I'd always go from each platform and get over. But it was just sort of the way we played the game. He always wants to rush through the games as much as possible. And I don't mind that, but I try to take my time to not lose my lives. And he doesn't mind, like, if he loses a life. And I'm more conservative about, well, I like to keep my lives for the last battle so that I can kind of just screw around and mess with the last boss a little bit and don't take it too seriously. But anyways, that's a whole nother thing we can talk about later on. But stage eight, they kind of take away all of the sort of environmental dangers, if you will. Stage one doesn't really have any. Stage two doesn't really have any. I mean, a little platforming, but nothing too serious except for a helicopter that you can mysteriously not die from, even if you rip you to shreds.
those bullets are pretty tame.
Pea shooter.
Yeah.
But three is where you first really get to see the interaction with your character and the stage itself. And I like that. I mean, the first game had some of that too. First game had that stupid part with those blocks that would push you.
Oh, yeah.
I hated that part. There was no pattern to that stuff. I've never found a pattern. Maybe somebody could prove me wrong. I have personally never found the pattern of that. I always just get smoked. It's just lucky if I don't die there. But so two, I like that they did that a lot, and they added some nice graphical details, as you said, to certain parts and things like that. So yeah, that's a little look at the stages. What would you like to move into next, maybe?
Let's get into the bad guys, I guess. Let's do the bad
guys. Because we're doing the Taylor Top 10 Countdown.
Oh, Jesus.
So this is your chance to rate all of the idiotic buffoon bad guys in this game.
Sweet. I can't wait.
So from a score of 0 to 10, how do you feel about the red-haired goof with the green army pants and the weird shoulder pad things.
Like, what is the 0 to 10 mean though exactly?
So you're gonna rate this guy out of 0 to 10, and you can rate him on, let's say, his style, his fighting ability,
okay,
and maybe his intellectual ability.
A combination of all three.
Yes.
Well, then I'd say for the red haired goofball, I think he would probably average out to about a 1.5.
That's lower than I would have given. I'm gonna give about a 3. He likes to walk into his own dynamite stick flame pretty often.
Yeah, that's pretty dumb, Sushi.
Yeah, it's pretty bad. Pretty bad. But he can be dangerous. I mean, because they usually send those guys out in twos, but sometimes they throw a lot of dynamite sticks. And let's say stage 7, for example, near the end of stage 7, when they have the disappearing platform. And if you can't defeat those guys fast enough, you could get into some trouble there.
Right.
So that's why I give him a little bit.
But that's more of the stage being that way than them.
It's true.
That's
but
circumstance.
I can't deny the circumstance in that case, though. It does give him an advantage. He's got nothing to live for, so. As do most of these idiots.
He's got nothing to die for either.
That's true. He's just there to compete. He gets a purple competition ribbon.
You participate.
Participant ribbon. All right, so we've got that guy out of the way.
All right.
How about the red-haired flat-top dude that does the cartwheels with the black muscle shirt and, what is it, green pants and blue boots or whatever?
Yeah, I don't mind him so much. I'd give him a 4. Push him up there a little bit.
And once in a while, he comes out with the little knives that he throws.
Yeah, those knives, especially in the if you don't take care of them on stage 4 underground,
it can kind of
be a pain in the butt.
It's just a bit annoying. He's never seriously giving you any sort of fits or anything, though. He never pushes you to any sort of limit.
Still a bit smarter than Goof.
The first doofus there.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'd probably give this guy about a 5. I like the cartwheel animation. I think it looks really cool.
That's pretty smooth.
Yeah, so I don't mind that guy too much. All right, so moving on from him, we're going to go with the purple jumpsuit woman.
I would probably keep her around a 4-2, maybe. Because a lot of the times when you encounter her, she seems to be climbing stairs or ladders and stuff. And
that's true.
And she's so... I don't know. I like the weapon that she has sometimes, the little mace thing.
Well, she's got grenades as well.
Yeah, she does have grenades too, but it's in that same area on stage 4, it's a bit of a pain, but
right.
I don't know. I've never really had any issue with her.
Mm-hmm.
I'd say she's probably a little bit smarter than the other two combined.
Right.
Fine, we'll put her up to 5.
Okay, I'm going to give her a 6 because I do like the design of the character. And she's got that really cool kick animation where she kind of her body sort of torques down and then she does this really high kick.
Yeah.
And she's another one that doesn't really give you much trouble. But as you mentioned, in stage 4, the grenade thing can be annoying because the grenades are weird. If they fly into the air and they hit you, like if they touch you right away, they explode. But if they hit the ground first, you can just walk past them. But grenades... Or pick it up and throw it back. But the grenades can be kind of dangerous. They aren't something you can just lackadaisically walk away from. They can get a bit annoying after a while. Not so much with the knives for me. The knives don't bug me too much.
Yeah, the knives aren't so bad.
And the dynamite sticks are a joke. So
yeah.
Fair enough. So we've got her out of the way now too. Now, how about the... kickboxer Oreo cookie dudes.
I hate those assholes so much. Oh god, those guys know what they're doing.
They sure do.
And if you are trying to do a move and you can't for whatever reason, you will be eating asphalt, especially when they start gangbanging you. And if there's one in front of you and one behind you, you are in trouble for a little while because they will keep you down.
Right. They've got that little jab that kind of stuns you just enough where Billy or Jimmy kind of looks like they're almost going to throw up. They do that jab move. And as you said, if there's two guys, that one first guy will jab you and then the other guy will turn and do that kick, that sort of spinning kick move that he does. So they can be tough. I don't know.
I don't know. I'd give them a 7.5. They know what they're doing.
All right, that's pretty fair. I'd probably give them a 7. Not so great in the design, though. Hey, they're just kind of messy looking almost.
Oh, they kind of make me think of like those almost like a kind of like a offbeat cop, like uniform in a way. So it doesn't really bother me so much.
All right, and they just remind me of Oreo cookies. So we got those guys out. Now, how about the collie stick, mushroom-headed, green jumpsuit dudes?
The Tomfo weird?
Right. Dudes? I thought they were collie sticks, but okay, whatever.
Are they collie sticks? I could be collie
They could be Tomfos. I don't know. They've got some sort of wooden-type weapon in their hands.
I don't think they're really that smart. I don't know. I don't know. I don't like their design very much either.
Design's pretty bad.
I'm gonna throw. They go under the bus. I'm giving them a 5.
Okay, I would give them. No, I wouldn't give them anything for design as well. Their design's pretty garbage. I would give them actually an 8 because I think they can do some pretty serious damage on you when they do some of their moves. They've got that flip kick type move where they flip into the air and they try to get you, and they've got that sweep. That sweet move. The thing is, they take off quite a bit of health that they get. They tag you at all.
If they tag you.
Right. Now, this can be remedied with a move that we'll talk about in a few minutes.
A glorious move.
Well, not so much that one. There's actually a better move for these guys. But anyways, that's beside the point. I think the other thing is, if you try to get into the fisticuffs with them, if you just try to punch at them, you can do it. But I don't know if you've ever tried, but you start to see that you're taking damage as well as when you're hitting them.
Really? Huh. I know. I'm usually trying to do special moves.
Special moves? Okay. But if you get like a guy in the corner and you just want to kind of pummel on him, this is the one guy that if you start doing that, the other guys will just stand there and take the shots. But this guy, when he's doing it, you'll take slight damage and you probably lose about roughly a block. Huh. If you will beat the guy, you will beat him down and he will die, but you will probably lose about a block of health as well. So try that out next time you're playing the game. See how that works out for you. So I think they're a bit challenging. I like fighting them, though, because they kind of keep me on my toes because they're a little bit slow when they walk. But once they start doing some moves, they're a bit of a challenge.
I don't know. Because I'm trying to think. I remember fighting them in, what, like the first time they pop up is in stage six?
The first time they pop up is in stage 5, right before the tractor thing comes.
Oh, okay. Yeah, but they're not that bad.
Right.
I don't know. I'm going to have to agree to disagree because I've never really found them that challenging, I guess.
Okay. As a kid, I found them really tough. Much more so than the Oreo cookie dudes. Oreo cookie cops.
I don't know. Whatever the reason, Oreo cookie dudes. Maybe because they are Oreo cookie dudes. And so I get hungry and I'm like, oh, I need an Oreo and now I'm distracted.
It's possible. All right, how about we look at a couple of the more heavy-hitter dudes, the bigger guys. So the first one we got there is the new and improved Abobo.
That's a good question mark there, the improved. I don't know if it's improved.
Now, what do you think about this design?
I hate the design so much. I really do. I don't. Oh, fuck me. That design put... That it scared me as a kid because it's like, what the fuck is wrong with this dude?
I thought it was like my uncle for a while. Now, it looks like he's wearing sunglasses, but I don't think he's supposed to be, right?
I don't think so.
And he's got this weird long mustache type thing on his face. And then he's got this weird sort of greasy long hair that doesn't seem to move. They took the exact design from the first game, the same Abobo, but they changed him to have white pants now with a light tint of green when he walks and gave him this weird hairstyle to sort of say like, yeah, we've updated him, but they kind of haven't. They added a few more muscle ripples and that's about it.
Updated him, upgraded him, and freaking nerfed him even more. So, oh my God.
Yeah, he's a lot easier in this game.
For so sure. Easy.
But that's what makes him enjoyable for me. He's got a really cool looking, not quite animation, but when you do knock him down, like when he's laying on the ground.
Yeah.
I kind of like the, I don't know how else I can put it, but just how it looks. It looks kind of like he's really been hurt. Like he's just flat on his back.
And he's like, oh, yeah. You're your face.
Right, right. Yeah, so what are we giving him?
I don't like him at all. he's getting a 2.
Well, better than Dynamite Stick Doofus there. Whatever. Yeah. Call that jerk. I wouldn't quite give Abobo that low. I'd probably give him around a 4. I mean, he can be punishing, especially on stage 4. If you don't get to him right away on that stage, he can do some damage to you. And that throw that he has, I've definitely died a number of times being thrown off ledges and stuff. Just being careless, right?
Right, right.
Yeah, he's so easy, I can just beat him down. But I've definitely got caught and thrown over the ledge before. Uh-huh. And I would be surprised if you said that you've never been caught and thrown.
Oh, no, yeah, no. I've been caught and thrown many a times, but...
Stage 5 is a classic one.
Yeah.
He always comes in pairs for some reason, too. Except for stage 4.
Yeah, I don't know why.
He just likes dying.
I guess so, because he does a lot.
He likes getting beat up. All right, moving on from him. Now we have the speed demon sort of dudes. I don't know what else to call them. They're sort of these ninja type guys that are possibly the hardest characters to fight in the game.
Yeah, they're pretty tough. They're especially when you get through stage 2 and you're like, oh man, that was an easy stage, and all of a sudden those assholes pop up and you're like, oh, this game is serious.
Right. Now these guys you pretty much can't take down without any special moves. I mean, if you try to punch them, they've got that little knife that they have, and they have that weird little jab move that just knocks you down all the time. And they can flip into the air and they can throw shurikens at you and
heat seeking shurikens, mind.
That's too, and they can run really fast across the screen and just blast you.
Yeah.
So they're pretty tough. I mean, and they come in pairs too.
Yeah, they're pretty rough. These guys, yeah, they're in their design kind of meh. It's not
really, not bad, but
not really anything spectacular, but I'd give, I don't know, probably like a 9.
Yeah, I'd probably go 9 too. I like fighting them though. They're another one that it's nice to be really challenged sometimes in the game, and even though I don't feel that challenged by them, they are something that sometimes does give me a lot of frustration. All right. So.
Jerks.
All right. So moving on from then, we have one of my favorites, and that is Arnold Schwarzenegger from Commando. Now, if you've seen the movie Commando, there is a scene near the end of the film where Arnie's suiting up and he's got just basically these combat fatigues, but what's the word I'm thinking of? The
camo.
Yeah, like these camo type pants that he puts on because he's going to go and kill about 150 dudes in this final scene. And they just completely ripped it off. it is so blatantly obvious. That's where they got this character design.
Doesn't matter.
Oh, it's awesome. It's great. And he's got some pretty devastating moves. He's got this cool little chop where he doesn't even move, basically. Just his arm only moves. One arm. He's got this big shoulder tackle where his whole body just like flips over, basically. That's about it, though, I guess, for him.
Yeah, he's obviously a 10 because it's Arnold.
Well, that's true. He's got a weird animation. I can never quite figure it out when he's laying down. Like, when you do knock him down, you can see that he's sort of in the same pose as a Bobo. Like, they've taken basically the same character sprite. But his legs always looked weird to me. Like, there was one leg supposed to be bent, like, at the knee and up or something. I couldn't quite figure it out sometimes. But not that it matters that much. But he's fun to fight. He's just, I don't know why, I just like fighting him.
He's fun to beat on.
Yeah, sometimes he beats me up pretty good. I've definitely been careless with him too, and he doesn't have the throw or anything, but some of his moves are, well, his two moves, I guess, are really powerful. Mm. So if he does hit you with that shoulder check, I've had up to 2 blocks fall off.
Ooh.
So we got Arnie in there. Arnie from Commando. And the 2 letter left here, well, this guy, I mean, he goes without saying, he's one that I think a lot of people remember if they have played Double Dragon 2, and that is Fat Helmet Dweeb Guy. I don't know what to call this. Disappearing-esque.
The cyborg.
Is he a cyborg even?
Like, I don't know what the hell he is.
I don't know. He's awesome because he disappears for no reason.
He's just like,
and then magically reappears in the exact same spot.
Why doesn't Billy and Jimmy just grab the mask and like throw it off the building? You know, see what smart ass
the spike pit.
I mean, seriously, like, oh yeah, okay, I'm gonna disappear, blah, and then you just grab it. And what kind of worthless fucking step powers?
Crush it.
Yeah, you don't even. What? Yeah, just hold the mask over the freaking ledge, and then when he starts to come back, you just wait.
Just drop it.
Yeah, seriously.
I don't know. It's one of those just ridiculously dumb 80s type ideas where you're just like, this is going to look awesome, guys. Just wait. So nailed some developer it. Was thinking this is going to be amazing. We're going to make this big fat wrestler type dude with red pants and blue boots and a helmet because helmets are awesome.
It made him look mysterious.
Well, it made him look mysterious and sort of, yeah, he looks like a combination of, the wrestler Big Van Vader and a guy from Mad Max. And he's fun to beat on too, right? Like, I love fighting this guy. I get really careless with this guy all the time though, because on the first stage, he's so easy. I'm totally just trying to destroy this guy as badly as possible. And he's got the chop move as well and the shoulder check too. Yeah. So he's just pulling the Arnie moves.
That grab too, where he'll grab you.
Right, and punch you in the stomach multiple times and then throw you. Yeah. And that can be dangerous, especially on stage 7. But he's a fun one to beat on. What do you think about him?
He's 10. No, he doesn't get that. He is too 80s for me to be a 10. I'd give him a. I'll be kind. I'll give him a 7.
I'm just kidding. I wouldn't give him quite a 10. When you're saying he's too 80s though, and this is an 80s game.
I know, but.
He's the tail end of the 80s, I guess. But.
Yeah, he's everything that's wrong with the 80s.
Fair enough. I'd probably give him actually about an 8, but just because I like beating him up. But not he's particularly smart or anything.
He's definitely not smart. Not with this.
And he's just a goofy design.
Yeah. All right.
So the last one there we'll do is the Shadow Master.
Oh, snaps.
He's a weird one just because we don't really get any sort of concept of him until the end of the game when he just kind of appears.
Right.
Which is fine. This isn't, an 80-hour RPG and suddenly, and he's a real final boss. We don't get that. It's just a beat him up, so it's not really detrimental to the story or anything. You're just like, okay, whatever, just another guy to beat up. He's got some cool moves, for sure. He's got this sort of handstand kick move, which I really like. I think the animation's really neat for that.
Yeah, he has that freaking moonwalk, not somersault, but handstand back.
Backflip type move that he does to get out of the way, which can be quite annoying because he can move pretty fast.
Right.
And he moves across like the north and south plains very, very easily with that move. So it's kind of tough to judge where he's going to stop and things like that. He has this standing sort of 360 punch move, which he can also do by jumping, and he comes right at you. And that's extremely devastating. That can... usually around 3 blocks for that, but sometimes 2 and sometimes 4. That's a really, really tough move to avoid sometimes too. Because he's just walking at you and suddenly he just does it.
It's like, shabam! It's like, oh,
right, so
shit.
He definitely poses a lot of challenge if you're not too careful.
Right. Yeah, if you are just kind of dicking around and not really, I don't want to say trying too hard, but if you're just kind of like, hey, da-da-da, if you're not... purposely trying to kick his ass, or if you're just kind of goofing off, it could be kind of bad for you.
Yeah, he can punish you pretty quick.
Because he can do that, especially like in the first half of the fight, when it's got that...
The shittiest music in the entire game.
But then it goes to like...
We'll get into that in a second.
Okay, alright. Okay, but yeah, that because he does that kind of like teleport thing, kind of.
Right. Well, he disappears and you see him.
Pain in the ass.
So what do you think for that guy?
He kind of reminds me a little bit of the final boss from Trojan. And I don't know if you've ever played Trojan.
I have not.
Okay, well, the final boss from Trojan scared the fuck out of me as a kid. And as a kid playing Double Dragon, the Shadow Master scared me a little bit as well, just because it's like, oh, I'm finally at the end of this, and he's really kind of challenging for me as a kid.
Right.
And I don't like the purple. The purple is kind of I don't know if it's going to go, if it's supposed to be like black, so to say, like the purple black kind of thing or what, but I guess for his quote unquote skills and intelligence, I'd say probably like another like 9.5. He's no Arnie, that's for sure.
Right. I think you're just giving Arnie all the score there for looks, basically. Arnie's not exactly hard in the
game. No, he's not. He's pretty easy.
Pretty easy.
Really easy.
Yeah, I mean, I would give the Shadow Master a 9. He's got some flamboyance about him and charisma, but he's just kind of a goof at the same time. I mean, he definitely will beat you probably the first few times you play the game. I mean, you might get lucky and beat him, but you definitely have to learn his pattern and things like that. So yeah, why don't we move on from there?
All right.
Where would you like to take this vehicle?
I think you know exactly where I'd like to take this vehicle.
I'm pretty sure I know, but I'll let you call it out.
Muzax.
Yes, sir.
And as was previously stated, the final boss first half music sucks.
Yeah.
It's so annoying, and it's frustrating too, because it's just like you're trying to beat this guy, and he's doing all these stupid freaking flips and shit.
Pissing you off to the worst music.
Ah, damn it! And then then it breaks into this glorious, amazing.
So good. And it gets you going. You're just ready to smash this guy's head in now.
Yeah, you're just like, all right, asshole. You're all your stupid fire and bullshit's gone. It's time to rock the dragon and put it to your face.
Right. So. Yeah, I mean, it's a very memorable tune. It's a fun tune that I just still hum once in a while. Like if I'm walking somewhere and I've got to hurry up something, it's like, it gets you going so well. It's a great song.
I'd say overall the music is pretty good. There's a couple stages where I'm kind of like, I don't feel it as much.
Right.
Yeah, but I mean, that kind of happens. And of course that stupid final boss first part song sucks. Right. But I also really, 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 really like Stage 4's music.
Mm.
So,
I mean, this is a pretty strong catalog of music for an NES game for sure. Let's just break this down real quick, too. What do you think of Stage 1's music as a whole?
It wasn't too bad. I'd say probably it was just... I'd say it's a good for the first stage.
Yeah, I agree. Good intro type song. How about 2?
I honestly don't really remember 2's that much. I want to say that it was like... It works for the stage itself because you're on the rooftops and stuff.
Nighttime.
Yeah, it's always great when it starts up because that's the part I do remember. Because right when it starts up, I just try to book it over and just jump and just beat the hell out of those two guys that are right there in the next.
Smash them into both those pits that are right there.
That's when I like hop, do the hop, and then when you land, do the uppercut. I love to do that right there. It's just like boom.
I usually give that first guy flying sidekick because you can jump right off that top ledge and just drop on him. I kick him right away and then I just blast the other guy. Usually,
it's just I don't mind it so much. It's all right.
Right, and 2 is definitely the stage that they used as the cover art for the game.
Right,
which is pretty awesome. How about 3? 3 is not to take away from you, but I think 3 is kind of a throwaway.
Yeah, 3 is not really.
Yeah, it's just not very memorable, right? Like it's not really bad per se. It's just what they were working with, I guess, for that theme. I can see where they went with it, but it's just not memorable. And you said you really like 4.
I love
4. 4 is pretty cool. 4 has been used in other things too. 4 is a really cool stage theme. It's a fun stage. One of my favorite things about the song is when the song is playing and then the elevator is going. I don't know why, I just really liked that.
Yeah.
4 is a bit of an asshole stage at times though too. It's a bit of a gauntlet because you just got to go through all those screens.
You can't jump.
There's no health to be given back to you in that one for sure. How about 5?
I don't mind 5s. I'm kind of I think because I like four so much, it's five doesn't quite. It's just kind of like, okay, whatever.
Okay, five's definitely a little more low key for sure. So
yeah, it's doesn't because yeah, because four's just like,
right. And then five is kinda brings like, it back down a little bit.
Like, okay, you're in the forest. Dope.
Right. Now six.
I like sixes.
Yeah, six is as much as the stage can be aggravating. It's a really neat song because it's very ominous. Hey, like it
right, gives you
this feeling of oh, like, this is a really weird stage and it's gonna be tough.
You think yeah, it's like oh yeah, I gotta be right at the end. How this is set up is kind of the vibe. You're like okay,
absolutely, right. That's for sure. You really feel like it's the end, and then but it's cool how that connects because you get to the temple right, and then you're at the temple, and then it's like oh shit, now you're in this sort of industrial zone that's behind the temple sort of thing as you go through the door, which is really cool. I like that setup. Seven.
I don't mind it. I think because I hate the first half of the stage, it's hard for me to get into the song, and then by the time it gets to the latter part of it, I'm like, okay. So I don't mind it so much. I don't. I'm cool with it.
Fair enough. I really like seven. I like the stage theme. I played the game today and I breezed through seven like nothing. Like it was nothing. It's sometimes I get caught on seven though, where I've lost 2-3 lives easy on seven. Sometimes it's a really awkward stage when it comes to that. Right. Eight.
I like that one.
Okay. I don't really like eight very much.
Why?
I just don't like this, the low keyness of it. It seems like it's sort of, I don't know. I don't really like that. I just don't like the.
Because yeah, because you know it's because after playing at first I didn't like it, but as I've kind of played it more and more and stuff as a kid, I really started liking it because it's I knew I was getting, I knew this was the actual kind of last stage before the final boss. So I was like, all right, snaps.
I guess I like the lower end part of that song where it's like doo 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 doo. I like that part a little bit more than the more higher pitched sound. The higher pitched sound is a bit aggravating to me a little bit.
Okay.
So it kind of, it's a weird mixed bag. And that stage is not really my favorite stage either.
I like that stage. I like it.
It's a pretty tough stage.
Yeah.
You get a number double dose of a bobo. You get an Arnie and then two Abobos. Actually, does that stage has just about everybody on it except for the Dynamite Stick Doofus. He's done by then. He's done.
He did not quite qualify for that stage. Yeah.
After seven, when you get to beat him into that pit, he's well. I guess you have to fight him one more time after that, but he's pretty much toasted by then.
He's like, I'm done.
He's out of reserves. and we've already talked about the Shadow Master stage there. So we did fail to mention the Shadow Boss, though.
He's a bit of a pain in the ass.
He's a pain in the ass. That fireball shouldn't be hard to dodge, but it's got an awkward speed to it and stuff. And the way he kind of backs off and throws it sometimes, it catches you.
Yeah, he's a bit of a pain. He's... If you have two players, I think it's easy.
Mm-hmm. Well, you can sort of get him in the middle, well, both of them, right? And you can just kind of start.
Right. Playing. Well, even if you're doing like, you could just having two players, I think, makes them a lot easier. If you're doing it one player and it's just the 1v1, it's a little bit more troublesome, but I don't know.
He's got that knee, hey, that little knee move that always knocks him out.
Yeah.
That move. And then if you try to give him the uppercut, he seems to catch me maybe 50-60% of the time where it knocks me down too.
Because he's a jerk.
He's a pretty tough boss and a cool boss. I like that idea. I think it's really cool. I'd give him, just to pull it back to that quickly, probably about an 8.5.
Yeah, I'd probably throw it around 8.5, 9.
Yeah, pretty cool boss. Really good idea. All right. Well, I think we are pretty close to wrapping it up except for something very important. And I think you know what we're getting into here.
Bring it! Do it!
Important moves in all of gaming.
Yes!
Now, this move, I don't even remember how I found out about it. I mean, this is funny. I had the game, and I went through the manual after playing it a few times. and as a kid. And I remember looking through and I was like, okay, I learned how to do the cyclone kick. And I'm like, oh man, once you learn cyclone kick, you're pretty much set in the game. You can beat the game with just the cyclone kick. It's pretty damn strong. And the timing of it is where you can hover over guys before they even stand up again and just keep blasting them, basically. And it's pretty satisfying. If you learn how to use the hurricane, or sorry, the cyclone kick or hurricane kick over and over, it's really satisfying and you can pretty much nerf this game. There is still a move that trumps that. And that's pretty ridiculous when you think about how good the cyclone kick is already. Would you like to expand further on that, Taylor?
Captain Falcon ain't got nothing on this, that is for sure. And that is the glorious knee. the knee of damnation. I don't know what it's just so cool. You can just call it the knee for all I care.
I think it's got a name, but I don't remember what it said in the manual, but it's definitely just been known as the knee for from my friends too. It's so good that God Hand sequel will be God Knee. Imagine how awesome that would be. God Knee. I would buy that sequel for sure.
I would totally. I would drop Mad Coin for that one.
But anyways, the knee is just it. When you first experience it, you're just, you don't even know what to think because it's got this sound. Now it's got two sounds. Basically, if you miss it, it goes, it makes this sort of high pitched shrieking sound almost. And you're like, whoa, what is that? And he just, Billy or Jimmy lunges forward with their knee in this kind of almost perfectly made animation for it even, right? You're just like, what the hell? Because you never really see that knee go up, except for maybe when he's about to do a jumping sidekick type move. And it's just like, what the hell? And then when you actually connect with it, and it just goes, and it makes this miniature explosion in your NES every time it happens. It's just so unbelievably satisfying.
Yeah, because the first time you do it, it rockets the enemy when it connects.
Across the screen.
Yeah. And you're just like, what the fuck was that? Because here's this explosion, and then the character just, the enemy just flies off. And you're like, that was fucking awesome!
And then you're right, like, and you're trying to figure out what happened and how to do it again, and then you figure out how to do it. Now, I'm really good at the game, not to boast too much, but I'm still not that great at the knee. It's one of those things that I kind of have to button mash to do it. I know what I'm doing, but I can't do it over and over and over again. I don't know about you, but
I practiced to do it. That is my, I love that move too much to not do it over and over. Even on stupid doofus Dynamite Stick Boy, he gets the knee repeatedly.
Oh, you would have enjoyed one of the knees he got today in my game.
Well, I was like, when I started it up for this episode to kind of just, you know, to kind of re-experience it, I was like, okay, he's getting the knee first off.
I think for me, because I'm not that perfect at the knee, I think it makes it even more satisfying for me because I can't continually do it. I have this weird thing where I jump from the left-hand side to the right, and I seem to do it a lot easier than from the other side, which is really strange, but... which is fine because a lot of the stages, when you do that, to blast the guy off of the screen and into a pit or something. So it's an awesome move. Today, I had a couple of great ones. I had, one of the most satisfying ones that didn't happen today is at the end of stage 5, when Arnie comes out. And if you can lure him to the edge of that sort of tractor thing,
right?
And if you can blast him off of that, and even if he gets up, it takes him a long time to come back onto the screen. That one's pretty satisfying. I like getting the fat helmet dude on stage 7. I got him today with that. The platform was disappearing. I blasted him off and he hit the other side and he kind of ricocheted off and then into the spikes. That went extremely satisfying too. Fat boy off of the stage 1 top of the building. That's pretty satisfying as well. He just gets rocketed off. What are some of your favorite ones for that?
Personally, I've always, I loved doing it on 2-player B version where you can beat the fuck out of each other and giving each other the knee. And right. That's always hilarious because you can do that. I personally made sure to practice just getting the knee down, and just doing that is I'll do it anywhere and everywhere. I don't care if you're the dynamite stick doofus boy or if you're Shadow Master, you're getting the D. Of course, much more of a gratifying thing when you knee them off the building or completely off the screen kind of thing.
Into spikes.
But, yeah, just...
I got some good shots on the Shadow Master today. He got three in a row, and then I got the beautiful ending where you knee him, and then it goes boom, and it turns to black and white, and he just gets rocked.
Nice.
Rocked off the screen. And oh, that's really satisfying. But I do like getting him with the Cyclone kick, too. It looks kind of picture perfect as he's in the air, and he's spinning, and it looks really cool, too.
So get him with the uppercut. So.
I think I've hit him with a punch one time. It was just so strange. It was still satisfying in such an odd way of just getting him with a jab. But yeah, the knee. Oh man, the knee is just unreal.
Such an amazing move.
I think we're going to have to make God knee.
God knee. God knee. It's got to happen. So yes, God bless the knee.
So yeah, that's a pretty good look at Double Dragon 2. Is there anything else you wanted to touch upon there?
No, we've touched the knee. That is all that.
Touched the knee.
That is all that needs to be said.
Bow down and kiss the knee. Imagine how awesome that would be if you're on like a terrible date and like, so you know, this woman was with a dude on a terrible date or something, and like she just got sick of the guy and just blasted him with the knee. How great would that be? You know what's also really funny too for me is actually when I get hit and then I give the knee at the same time and you kind of get knocked back. Yeah, I like that
that's
too. Always,
that's a good
that,
one.
That's actually kind of fun too.
Because yeah, you kind of do this little poo and then the other's like boom.
Yeah, you're just like duh and you fall over a little bit and this guy's just going across the screen. It's almost as if the impact was so strong that you flew back a little bit even. This is great. It would be pretty interesting to see the knee in real life.
Make it happen.
I remember thinking, why the knee, right? Like, why? They could have made it into some sort of, have you seen the Superman punch move before? Like in MMA, there's this move called Superman punch where basically you're standing, and then you do this sort of lunging jab move.
Okay.
Like, why couldn't they have just done something like, where you're like, boom, and like you just blasted the guy? Or why couldn't the Cyclone kick just rocket guys across the screen? Or why couldn't you do like a running flying sidekick that could just jet people across the screen? Why did it have to be a knee? I don't know. But it's amazing. It's one of the most amazing things in gaming. But I'd be curious, why did they choose the knee of all?
Yeah, of all of the weakest joints in your body, why the knee?
I don't know. There are some other cool moves, though, that I guess just to quickly wrap up too is I like when you grab the guys and you can like elbow them in the head and stuff. And throw. You got that giant kick where like the guy, your leg goes past your head. You kick the guy so far up. That's pretty cool. First time you see that, you're like, whoa, that's pretty cool. But those kind of over time, as you start to learn the knee and the Cyclone kick, they don't really become that effective until maybe stage 4. But that's about it.
The super uppercuts, those are. I always like to do those because if you get knocked down or something, you're coming back up. It's like, hey, cockbag.
Yeah, that's a good move too, for sure. And those are good if you kind of screw up a Cyclone kick or something. You can always throw that uppercut still.
Right.
So it's a pretty good sort of safety device for you.
Yeah.
You know, we didn't really touch on negatives, but I mean, one negative, I guess, could be the button scheme is a bit awkward at first.
It is, but I think if you play it, you know, 20, 30 minutes, you get used to it pretty quickly, I think.
Yeah.
But,
yeah. I mean, one of the biggest problems is that the game ends.
That and the platforming. The platforming is a bit obnoxious, but...
Yeah. It would have been nice to see a few more other character types in the game. I'm sure they were very limited as well, but it would have been cool to see just a couple other things, maybe a few different weapons. I mean, the weapons are pretty much useless in the game. I never use them.
Because why use them when you have the knee?
Well, yeah, or even the Cyclone kick or whatever. Right. Just, I don't know. They're more just for show, right? It's for the enemies to try to beat you with. Kind of weird.
They're going to need it.
No, they're going to need it, all right. They're going to get need. Kind of weird they took out things like the baseball bat, which seemed kind of classic. But,
yeah, I don't know. They had that pipe thing in there.
Yeah, the pipe thing's kind of cool because you can flip it across the screen and it just, you know, hits the guys like, duh. pretty good, but yeah, anyways.
If you've not played this game, why are you still listening? Go play this game.
You probably would have been finished the game
yeah,
you during this podcast. Yeah. Or you could be listening to this podcast and be finished by the time you finish this game.
Yes. Totally.
So yeah, seriously, if you have any interest in beat-em-ups and don't mind a bit of an older graphical style and maybe a little bit of a challenge to get used to with some controls and stuff, this is a really, really fun game. Taylor and I are obviously boasting about it because we experienced it as kids and it's still fun today. That's saying a lot about the design of the game. So give it a shot. It is on the Wii Virtual Console. It shouldn't be very expensive for the NES if you do have an NES sitting around. Find it.
Exactly. Yeah. If you've not played it, definitely give it a shot. Even if you're not a big beat-em-up fan, it's still just a... I don't know. I'm not the biggest beat-em-up fan, but it's still a really enjoyable experience, I think.
Yeah.
But there's one last thing that we have to mention, and if we do not mention it, it would be a crime. You know what that is, right?
Well, I'll let you introduce.
I'll introduce it, but you're the one that I'll showed expand. It to me. Yeah. But so many, many moons ago, Sushi showed me the most amazing thing ever, and there is on YouTube, I'll put up links for it and stuff, but there is a video of them taking a Van Damme movie and making it basically Double Dragon.
Right. And the Van Damme movie that they took was Double Impact, which is a movie starring Van Damme playing himself as his
twice.
Brother, basically. So he's playing one brother that gets dropped off in Hong Kong. They're both born in Hong Kong. And another brother gets taken to America. They're split up at the beginning of the movie. Not that I'm going to ruin the plot so much, but anyways, they do get split up and then they get reacquainted after X number of years. I don't know. I guess they're in their 20s and they have to fight it out together to. Yeah. Again, the plot is just it's so pointless. Basically, it's just Van Damme being himself twice. One character is really smooth and suave and is street smart because he lived in Hong Kong. The other one's a pretty boy exercise instructor and blah, blah, blah. So it's a fun, dumb movie, but somebody got the absolutely ingenious idea of taking that concept and making it into Double Dragon. And they took basically, I think it's only Double Dragon 2. Yeah, it must be only Double Dragon 2.
I think it is, yeah.
Yeah, I don't think they put any other elements from the other games, but they took the NES Double Dragon 2 music, and they've put these sort of health bars on the bottom of the screen. And I don't, what is it, maybe 10 parts or something?
I think about 10 parts, yeah.
Something like that. And it's really funny, and it's kind of awesome. Even if you haven't seen the movie, you don't have to see the movie because it's just really amusing to see the way this is all being played out. And I know you have linked this before on another podcast that we've done. I don't remember which one, but I know you have linked it before, but it definitely should be linked again because you haven't seen this. It's pretty damn funny and very much worth your time. If you like Double Dragon or Van Damme, or even if you don't like either, it's still pretty entertaining. It's still pretty funny.
Yeah, definitely. It's really funny. It's the amount of work that person went through to put that together. I don't want to even think about it.
Yeah, and it might not have even been that much, honestly, because, I mean, they just basically put the movie in, put the music in.
Yeah,
but I mean, to put in the sound effects of, like,
yeah,
like, yeah. That's pretty damn awesome. The machine guns, doo, 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 and the helicopter, and it's pretty great.
It's really good. Definitely, if you've not checked it out, check it out, because it's hilarious.
Sure, and if you're not even that interested, you could just watch one of the parts and get the gist of it, so.
Right, and then you can tell us how unfunny it was.
Sure, if you really think it wasn't that funny, but that'd be too bad, because I think it's pretty damn hilarious.
So yes, definitely let us know your feelings and thoughts on Double Dragon 2, The Revenge.
Or the NES.
For the NES and whatnot. Let us know, and if you've not played it, play it and let us know, because seriously.
It's a good one.
It's great. If you haven't heard it, if you're just now turning in, I don't know how that would be, but if you're just now tuning in, it's a good one. So, okay, yeah. I think that wraps it up.
All right. So thanks again for listening to another episode of Power On Podcast Portable. We hope you guys enjoyed it. And go out and play Double Dragon 2, The Revenge, if you've got the time and the money, and experience it for yourself. So for Taylor, Murugari 553, and for myself, Sushi B, thanks again, and we'll catch you next time.